Hey everyone, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. I want to start out today by letting everyone know your predict scores of the home games, because if they're home games, I can give you food from Mr. Spots, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. Predict the score as close as you can. If you're dead on, the first perfect score or the first closest score wins a free half a sandwich. So already given away one just because of an awesome tweet. I'll be giving away another on game day. So after Michigan beats Cincinnati, be sure to go to 808 State Street, Mr. Spots. Show them the tweet. We'll confirm it somehow, and you'll get your free food. So I want to start off the show today. Of course, we're going to answer some questions. I got a few from Twitter. If there's any on the live feed, I will be happy to ask or answer those as well. So I'm going to go ahead real quick and get on there. I want to remind everyone, if you're not watching the live stream, you can listen on iTunes. You can also listen on Blog Talk Radio, the FanRag Sports channel. And I had a couple questions pop up, guys. So I'm doing this thing, thanks to Matt Morris. I've already thanked him once. I'm doing this thing where I'm watching the questions in the browser rather than having to come up like that. Because evidently you guys had enough of a look in my nostrils. So, Sean DeBoer in here. Sup, Biggers? Hey, Sean, how's it going? Justin Green, you didn't give me a sandwich. Justin, you'll get one this year. You'll get one. Hey, how's it going for Masterful? So, thanks again, everyone watching. Definitely a regular crowd in here. And Grant Canfield wants to know on Twitter, oh, YouTube Live. I'm going to send him the link real quick. Like I said, I do have a few questions from Twitter. I'll get those. If you guys have any in the live feed, feel free to ask them now, because I don't think it's a secret. Michigan is going to win this game big. I fully expect a blowout. I'm thinking 56-6, 56-9, something reminiscent of the Hawaii game, pretty much. I think we're going to see that. My internet is being very slow today, guys. All right, so here's the questions. Jalen Taylor says 41-6. 48-7 scored. Agree or disagree, says Sean Patterson. I think it's going to be worse than that. I really do. Justin Green, 96-2. Well, you were close. Justin, what did you predict for the Florida game? 78-0 or something like that? So what QBs will we see? Here's a good question from Sean DeBoer, if it's a blowout. I think we'll see John O'Korn by midway third quarter. I think it's going to be that type of game. And Dave Campbell on Twitter also asked a similar question, and he, let me see. I believe it was Dave. If it wasn't Dave, I'm sorry. I'll get to the Twitter questions. But yeah, I think it's going to be a blowout, guys. I think that we'll see O'Korn midway through the third quarter, assuming that there are no pick sixes. What linebackers will be playing after the starters get pulled? Well, what, we saw Josh Uche. I think watch out for Josh. I've been talking about Josh for a while. Watch out for Josh, guys. And Lawrence Marshall on the D-line. I think that I've talked up Lawrence for months now, because I really believe that this is going to be his year. And I think they just proved positive this past weekend in Dallas. Just rewatch that game. Watch all of Lawrence's snaps, not just the fumble recovery. Watch all of his snaps. Sean Patterson says, interesting note, last time we beat OSU, Fickell was acting head coach of the Buckeyes. That's true, Sean. Forrest Clerico says, hi, Adam. I love the personality of your show that you created. Pretty cool. Hey, thanks for watching, Forrest. I appreciate it. I try to keep it casual. You know, it's like basically a chat if we were all face-to-face. You know, I'm not, like I've mentioned, I want to talk with you guys. I don't want to talk at you. So I appreciate the compliment, Forrest. Jalen Taylor, if we get to the third string, is it Peters? Wouldn't see McCaffrey unless Spate gets injured. I mean, yeah, I think if it gets down to the third string, Jalen, that Brandon will get a shot. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. But, I mean, Dylan McCaffrey has really surprised me. I've heard all kinds of positives on Dylan. Justin Roberts wants to know, what do you think about Isaac's game? Fluke or more good things to come? Not a fluke. I mean, we've seen it before, right? And I think, you know, injuries, inconsistent play, it's something going on with Ty. The physical ability is there in spades. I mean, he tied a career high against Florida, and he did that against Florida. His first career high, 114 yards, and what was it, a 75-yard touchdown against UNLV. So he got most of that on that one play, right? Florida, well, he had a 36-yard carry. I thought Ty was excellent. I could see why Harbaugh spoke so highly of Ty Isaac. And more questions. Ty's the real deal, says Jalen Taylor. You know what you're getting from him day in and day out. Well, Jalen, I'll disagree with you that on that note because I don't know if we know what we're going to get from him. We know what we can. You know, we know what we can see out of Ty Isaac. I don't know if Michigan knows what they can get out of him on a daily basis. They were hoping probably something close to Florida, right? I mean, there is no debating, at least on my end, that Ty Isaac, performance-wise, was Michigan's best running back. And I've said this comparison before. Think of Michigan's backfield like a boxing match. Chris is going to run you around the ring. He's going to tire you out. Karan is going to get in those little body jabs a little bit. Ty Isaac is the knockout punch. Ty Isaac will sit you down. Jalen Taylor said, yeah, I liked your boxing analogy with the running backs. Thanks, Jalen. Casey Brown, good tight end. We have four. Sean McCune, excellent debut. And also remember, too, and he's not getting enough credit, I think Sean was very much part of Wilton's rebuilding of the confidence in the second half. If you notice, what were the first two passes? What were the first? Wilton, boom, boom, right to Sean. Does Devin Bush make first team All Big Ten if he continues at this pace? I know only one game. Marcel, I wrote that, actually. Yeah, I think so. Show me a faster, more physical linebacker in the Big Ten. I mean, I know there are good linebackers in the Big Ten. Devin Bush, I mean, you got to put Devin Bush up there. There's no question. My only concern with Devin, and it's not even really a concern, but he can't get ejected, you know? And I mean, I'm not saying that he intentionally leads. Devin's aim is to make you feel his hit. And he's going to hit you as hard as possible within kind of the, you know, within that rule, I guess, you know, not targeting. He's not aiming with the crown of his helmet. That hit was definitely shoulder. I mean, it got a little bit of the side of helmet, but he was leading with his shoulder. Grant Canfield, me. Top videos. Hey, top videos. I don't tolerate any of that crap in here. You guys, no picking fights with people unless they pick a fight with you and deserve it. That's why I love Bush. He has the heart of a lion and it shows, as Justin Roberts. I mean, I agree. Devin Bush, to me, is that type of linebacker. Devin Bush is going to really wreck some people this year. No question in my mind. Something in that Flanagan water, says Casey Brown. It's something. It's something. And guys, I wrote about, don't forget Devin Gill. Devin Gill is going to be in there at linebacker too. I just had a question about backups at linebacker. Devin Gill, Josh Uche. Don't forget about those guys. I mean, they're going to do their part. Devin Bush gets a lot of the shine, and he deserves it. I do think, going back to Marcel's question, I do think that Devin Bush has the potential to be a first team all Big Ten. No doubt in my mind. I think Gill starts next year, says four Masterfuls. I wouldn't doubt it. Because what? He's McCray's backup right now. So, Lawrence Marshall over Monet, top videos, 1, 2, 3. Now, there is a constructive comment, top videos. I'm not willing to go Lawrence over Brian right now. But, I mean, like I just mentioned, I think we've seen what Lawrence can do a little bit. We've seen a small segment of Lawrence, what Lawrence can do. And against an SEC team, a big O-line. Like I said, I've been, and you guys have brought him up too. It's not just me, but we've been talking about Lawrence Marshall on this podcast for, what, since the summer? Since the spring? Monet has to get his weight down a little bit, says Four Masterfuls. Robert Cialone. Adam, I made it to your live stream. Yes, you did, Robert. And I pronounced your last name correctly this time, right? Marshall over Monet against spread teams, says Casey Brown. Monet is more of a hole plugger against power I team says Eric 13 or Eric 313. I like Lawrence. And Lawrence is athletic too, don't forget. I mean, he came in as a linebacker. And initially, before, and Matt Pargoff of Maize and Blue News corrected me on this, because I went about half of the summer still thinking that Lawrence was going to be defensive end. Maybe they use him on the edge as an outside linebacker, and Matt was like, no, he's inside. He's a D-tackle. So thanks to Matt Pargoff for setting me straight over the summer. Sean DeBoer wants to know, are we going to see some Walker? I imagine this is the type of game Saturday, tomorrow, against Cincinnati, that we'll see a lot of guys. So yes, I expect to see Kareem. People are asking about Kareem. There's a lot of, you know how Twitter gets, guys, with rumors. Why isn't he playing? Blah, 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 and all kinds of speculation. I believe that we'll see Kareem tomorrow. Marcel Woods, after Saturday, it's hard for me to see Michigan lose more than one game. I'm thinking a slip up at Wisconsin. Marcel, well, Penn State, it's going to be tough. Ohio State's going to be tough. I went with 9-3 at the beginning of the season. I said that 10 wins were possible, and I do think that's possible if Michigan gets a couple bounces its way and if, let's say, Penn State or Ohio State slips. Penn State and Ohio State are still very good. What's the talent ceiling regarding production on the right side of the O-line? Jalen Taylor wants to know. And guys, I'm trying to go through all these questions. I'm sorry if I miss them. I'm going through all. Jalen, I think, you know what? One of my biggest surprises to me was to see Nolan in at right tackle. I really thought that was Juwan Bushel-Beatty and John Runyon's position to be won, and it was. And then we saw Nolan start. I was surprised. Talent ceiling-wise, I mean, I think Mike Onwenu played well. Nolan took some lumps. I mean, they relied on the left side of the line, I think, especially with the run game. But talent ceiling-wise, I mean, we saw Nolan make his first start. He hung in there. He wasn't horrible. I mean, I think the ceiling's high, to answer your question. Four Masterful says, I think Nolan was okay, but did nothing to cement his place there. It was his first start, too. So, I mean, take that into consideration. I think Nolan, like I said, Nolan hung tough. He did okay. I wasn't blown away by him, but again, first start. It was against the SEC defensive line. Florida, the past couple of years, has had one of the better defenses in the SEC. If you remember, I mean, they're different teams, but if you remember back to the Citrus Bowl, it was Florida-Michigan defense. That was the billing, right? Everybody was like, oh, man, these are going to be two top defenses. We're going to see... You know, there were some people who thought they'd see a low-scoring game. I was pretty close to my prediction. I guess I give Florida too much credit. I got to give the Gators at least two touchdowns every prediction. Two offensive touchdowns. Nate Wolverine says, Mason Cole was a beast last Saturday. I saw his tape. Mason Cole has been a beast for the past 3 years. I expect nothing less of Mason Cole. I was asked this question, I don't know, it was a couple weeks. Do I see any preseason All-American or... any potential All-Americans on the offensive line or in the offense? And I said, yes, Wilton. If Wilton has a big year, yes. But Mason Cole, Wilton was a little bit of a stretch. I'm projecting there with him. With Mason Cole, not a stretch at all. I fully expect Mason Cole to have an All-American type of season. I've only been covering Michigan football. This is my sixth year. This is my fourth year as full-time beat writer. I haven't seen a better offensive lineman at Michigan than Mason Cole during my time. Eric Magnuson was up there. Magnuson was, I don't think Eric got enough credit, but Mason's the best offensive lineman I've seen at Michigan since I've been covering them. Ambry since high school just seems to always make plays. I expect more of them, says Four Masterfuls. And you guys, if you watch the show, I really thought that he was going to be a redshirt candidate. I was wrong on Ambry Thomas. Or late, let's put it that way. It's not that I didn't see these type of things for Ambry. I just didn't think we were going to see him this year. They were talking about Ambry putting on weight, and I mean, he's not a huge guy. He really isn't. I mean, he's stacked a little bit. I mean, you could tell that he's in the weight room all the time. You could tell, you know, he's a college athlete, but he's not real tall. He's probably got me by, I would say, 25 pounds. and maybe an inch or so, just for a point of reference. He's not a huge guy, but that doesn't always matter. Size doesn't always matter, and I think we know that age doesn't always matter. With Michigan, I don't think age matters at all. Chase Winovich, all Big Ten defensive ends is top videos. Yeah, Chase Winovich was a maniac Saturday. I don't think there's a better word. And maniac maybe suggests that, you know, he's kind of erratic. He was. I mean, Chase Winovich is a player that I really like to watch because, like I've mentioned before, you guys have mentioned before too. When you're playing alongside Mo Hurst and Rashawn Gary, I mean, you're Chase Winovich. You know, and that's not a knock on Chase. It's just like, okay, you're alongside two huge names, two defensive linemen that everybody in the nation's talking about, and here you are, Chase Winovich. Well, Chase Winovich showed it. I want to note as well, Noah Furbush. Noah is all talk, or all action, no talk, I'm sorry. No talk. Noah just does it. Gotta mention him in there. Robert Cialone, Chase Winovich played like a dog Saturday. I agree. Eric 313, Brandon Watson's play. I thought Brandon was fine after he took over for David Long. You saw that pass breakup. They've been talking a lot about Brandon Watson. And again, remember those comments that Mike Zordich made about they better get it. I forgot exactly what he said when we were there talking to him. It was more or less to light a fire under them, I think, because they weren't that bad. Four passes for like nine. It was a total of like 99 yards. There were some big plays, and I expected that. I think you guys did as well. Four passes made up for half of their passing yards. So Florida had, I think, what, 181 passing yards? Four of those passes totaled 99 yards. So take that into consideration. And yeah, we saw LeVert Hill get burned. LeVert didn't even know that ball was coming. I mean, that was on. I mean, like I said, with a young secondary, you're going to see that. And with a young secondary, that's a position group where I think that the mistakes will be magnified. Because if missed coverage, boom, big play. Everybody's going to see that. If you're a linebacker or a defensive lineman, maybe you know, it gets hidden a little bit. You have guys around you who can make up for it. When you're one-on-one, there's nobody but, you know, LeVert and the receiver. Four masterfuls. Rashawn got double a lot. That should help Chase and other D linemen out a lot. Yeah, four masterfuls, and I thought that he was going to get a sack on Saturday. That was my prediction for the first Wolverine to have a sack was Rashawn. Khalik Hudson is reminding me of a young Jabril, Justin Roberts says. That's going to be a comparison a lot of people use, guys. But like I said, let Khalik be Khalik. I mean, we saw, and honestly, I don't think we saw the best of Jabril at Michigan. I don't. We saw some pretty good glimpses. I'm not surprised, put it this way, I'm not surprised that he's immediately making an impact. I know it's preseason, but if you watch any of his highlights with the Browns, I mean, there's no surprise there. But I don't think we saw the best of Jabril Peppers. I think that we'll see the best of Khalik Hudson at Michigan. MIC Brooke, Julio. Will LeVert and David elevate their game Saturday and maybe force a turnover or two? I mean, I'm expecting it. I think the secondary, there'll be some pass breakups. We already know this is a real handsy secondary. They proved it last year. I mean, just because Jordan Lewis isn't back there anymore doesn't mean that the style of play is going to change. I say this all the time, you know, with the defense too. I mean, Don Brown, the names will change. The system remains, guys. Of course, Dr. Blitz is the best, says Frank Lucas. Adam, make a prediction on who gets the first sack of this game. This should be an every game prediction, says Four Masterfuls. Oh, I'm going to go. I want to say Rashawn. I think Rashawn still. I'm sticking with Rashawn. I'm riding the Rashawn Gary train right now. Justin says, bet Devin Bushka. I almost said Devin. I was going to say Devin, but I can't abandon the Rashawn Gary train right now. I just can't. Rashawn's going to get his. And this is against Cincinnati. I mean, they can quadruple team him. Four Masterful says, LOL, Adam is loyal. I'm stubborn. If I make a prediction or I say something, I'm there. I'm riding that thing until if it happens, because I knew it was going to happen in my mind. If it doesn't happen, I mean, I'm not going to back down from it. I said it, right? So Stubborn is probably the better word, but loyal, I like that one too. For Masterful says, I'm going Chase. I mean, that's a great pick as well. Sean Patterson wants to know, thoughts on Don Brown's comment on defense being smarter than expected? I mean, right there. I think that says it all. Don Brown said that. Here's the thing with Don Brown too, guys, that I've noticed just being around. Don Brown is no, I like guys who are no BS. I like guys who will have a conversation with you and actually tell you things. Don Brown is that type of coach. He will actually tell you things. So if Don Brown says the defense is smarter, then I believe Don Brown. Robert Cialone, Ohio State will win this week. I think so too. Casey Brown says Mayfield is going to light them up. I mean, he might light them up, but I think that I like Ohio State right now. Caron Higdon needs the ball more. He reminds me of Mike Hart, says Carlos Gilliam. Caron will get his carries. We saw him run the ball 49 times, guys. 49 out of like 75 plays. They ran the ball. Michigan has a run game, I think, that's going to be able to. What's the word here? Wear down, guys, and we'll see it against Cincinnati. Big 12 is an inferior conference to what the Big Ten plays, says Robert Cialone. Four Masterfuls says he has Oklahoma, or he has Ohio State 38, Oklahoma 28. Four Masterfuls, give us your Buckeyes versus Sooner score. I'm gonna steal yours, Four Masterfuls. 38-28. That sounds about right. I still think Ohio State's defense and Baker Mayfield. Ohio State's secondary, they're going to give up some big plays. That D line, though, Bosa, Tyquan, they're pretty good. Justin Roberts, I left the chat for a second, so apologies if I missed it, but what do you think of tight ends? Justin Roberts, I haven't talked about tight ends yet, really. So good question. I like Sean McCune, guys. I really do. I like Sean McCune. I know another player I was wrong about, Zach Gentry. I did not think that Zach Gentry was going to have a featured role in this offense. Someone asked me about what do I see for Zach Gentry, and I just jokingly was like, I don't know, scout team. So my apologies to Zach Gentry if you're watching. Yeah, Zach's gonna be in there too, and I mean he's a big target. Big target. Ian Bunting. I mean I like what Michigan has at tight end. Tyrone Wheatley Jr. Aaron Little, Evans or Isaac. Well, Aaron, what type of situation? I mean, I think it's a every down, like the number one back, it's Chris Evans. Do you think running back will always be position ran by committee, or will we eventually have an every down back? Justin Wagner asks. I think there is an every down back in Chris Evans. Yeah, and Frank Lucas reminds me. Don't forget new Nick Eubanks. Yeah, absolutely. Don't forget Nick. I mean, that's five deep right there. Carlos Gilliam, I hate Ohio State, but they're going to blow out. We'll say blow out Sooners. Frank Lucas, where TF is Kareem Walker? I think Kareem will play Saturday. And I got this question a lot too, like why didn't he play against the Gators? I mean, I think Michigan did pretty well with three running backs, with Chris, Ty, and Karan. Expect to see someone else at quarterback other than Okorn and Spate if it's a blowout M turf. No. I mean, unless I maybe if it's 50, I'm predicting 56 to 6, and that's not even like tongue in cheek, haha. It's serious. I think 56 to 6. Maybe Cincinnati gets three field goals, 56 to 9. But no, I mean, it would have to be. I can't say that I'd expect to see Brandon. I expect to see John midway through the third quarter, though. Jalen Taylor says Evans could be very dangerous motioning out one on one with the line, but yeah, we see Chris lining up in the slot too. Chris Evans can't break any tackles for me as Caron Higdon. He gives you speed and power, not to mention the man runs angry, says Antoine Johnson. He does run angry. How was the food in Texas? What was the best spot? Four Masterfuls. Oh yeah, that's a question. I went to this place called Smoke, and it's a pretty nice restaurant. I had dinner with a friend and her family. Excellent food. The food at AT&T Stadium was very good. And if you guys have listened to the podcast or if you're new, I love food a lot. And that's why I do this for free food. And plus, I get to watch sports, so that's pretty cool. Michigan has excellent food. I'm telling you, on game days, I haven't been anywhere that has a more consistent level of quality than Michigan. I mean, I'm sure AT&T Stadium, but I mean AT&T Stadium had a cutting station and brisket. Eric wants to know, will Ruiz get playing time? Cesar Ruiz, yes, he will. Tyrone's, what's good? How's it going, Tyrone? The M Turf, my favorite Ann Arbor restaurant, Mr. Spots. Come on, you don't even have to ask me that question. Four Masterful says, my mouth's watering. I know, I keep hearing about, what's that deli? Zingerman's? I've never been there. I heard that they're pretty good too. I'm trying to think. I've heard of a couple other places. I don't really like hang out in Ann Arbor that much. I go down there, for availability for game day and stuff. I've only gone out on the town one time in Ann Arbor, and that was last year after the Colorado game, and that was pretty fun. Downtown Detroit area has great hole in the wall spots. Four Masterfuls, in Flint too, guys. Flint has some really good hamburgers. Timothy's Pub has a really good hamburger. I haven't checked out BJ's Dancing Sandwiches. I heard BJ's is really good. Thanks to Cody Peischer, he let me know. He's like, you gotta try BJ's, but I really like Timothy's. I like the Torch as well, downtown Flint. Why didn't DPJ play a lot of wide receiver with a lot of talk camp how good he was? Carlos Gilliam. I mean, he lined up at wide receiver, so he's punt returner right now. And like I said, I'm not surprised. I mean, Tariq, I feel like it's not that Donovan Peoples-Jones isn't really good. He is, but I don't think people were giving Tariq Black enough credit. Pizza House. Yes, I like Pizza House, Eric. How many punt return yards will DPJ have? Almost broke off every time. And yeah, guys, I have the interview with Donovan on my YouTube channel, so go ahead and scroll down and you'll see the videos. He had 5 for 40 against Florida. He'll probably have 5, 6 returns, I'm guessing, maybe more. But two, I think that Michigan, this is going to be such a route that I think Michigan will throw somebody back there other than Donovan, to get them reps too. But Donovan, let's say Donovan has a 25-yard plus return. I believe that'll happen. If DPJ doesn't muff anything with his reckless catches, then I think he's excited. He does know that he needs to improve ball security. He was asked about that. Jim Harbaugh told him, improve ball security. I think he got the message. Sometimes if you just know that you're gonna make the play, I know it's like not always, and I'll use my experience. So, but like with an infield fly, for instance, it's an easy play for you because you've done it a million times. I don't always put my hand behind my glove. Like when I coach, I tell them to do that. Sometimes I'll kick because you're gonna catch it. But that's different. Donovan's playing major D1 college football, and yeah, he does need to secure the ball a little bit. But I mean, I don't think it's an issue where you have to hammer him, and He was young, he was excited. He wants to score. That's what he told me. I asked him, what's going through your mind during your first return? And this probably applies to every return. He said, ball security, field position, score. Wes Weber, hey, Wes. Feed the panda. I agree. Why didn't we see them give the ball to Khalid? What was that, fourth and goal? On the one or the two, I don't understand why that wasn't automatic to Khalid. It's like they don't even have to call the play. They just look at him. Okay, Khalid, you're up. Yeah, I know. Okay. That's why I look at it. That is the Khalid Hill zone. Remember, guys, get on the ball, body length of the end zone, it's a touchdown. I mean, it's really, really easy, I think. Few questions, goal line call, few questions, but yeah, four Masterfuls. Khalid should always get that call, says Jalen. I agree. That should have been a touchdown anyway, Justin Wagner said. Yeah, it should have been. But with Khalid Hill, there's no question. There's no should have been. It was. Thoughts on linebackers next year with Drew Singleton and Jordan Anthony joining two deep. Crazy athletic group, asked Mitchell Benzie. Yeah, I mean, Michigan's deep at linebacker. They really are. And I'm not dodging your question. Mitchell, but really, I'm focused on. Okay, we've seen Noah, we've seen Mike. I'm really focused on Devin Bush. I'm focused on Josh Uche. I'm focused on Devin Gill. Sean Patterson, he had a second and short run. I think it is a good sign that this offense is always evolving. If anyone watched last year, they know Michigan likes to do that. I agree, Sean. You're talking about Khalid, right? Okay, guys, we're going on 30 minutes. Let me see if I haven't these questions from Twitter. RJ at RD 606 wants to know, do you think Michigan increases Isaac's carries? Do we see more maybe Evans or Higdon this week, or just keep it steady across the board? I mean, I do think that I think this is a game scenario where we could see Kareem Walker, but I mean, I don't know. I look at it like this, and for the freshmen too, but I think as overall, just feed the guys who are hot. Feed the hot hand. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Ty Isaac get some a little bit extra carries just because. And again, this is Cincinnati. This is a tune-up. Jonathan Lorman wants to know, who is going to be the leading receiver? Also, wide receivers seem to be more featured than tight ends now. Should we expect less tight end play from Pep's offense? I don't know to expect less. It was one game. I mentioned, though, with Sean McCune, I was a little bit surprised. I thought we'd see more tight end action, but the blocking was there. Sean McCune really impressed me. And again, those two consecutive catches from Wilton to start the second half, I think that those were very important in terms of just getting him level. Sean had two catches for 25 yards, targeted twice. Let's see. I think I have a couple other questions, guys. We'll keep it somewhat short. I know I say that all the time, and it never happens. What quarter does Cincy get its first down? Wes Weber wants to know. Second. Florida had 9 first downs, guys, and 4 of those were big pass plays. Robert Cialone, will Oliver Martin get playing time? I mean, eventually, I think so. I think Nate Shanley hopped over him, though. I mean, we saw Nate on special teams. Didn't see Oliver. But, I mean, there was a lot of talk about Oliver coming out of camp, too. A lot of talk about Nico. Not a lot of people are talking about Kakoa for some reason. I feel like I try to say, don't be surprised. I did say that. Don't be surprised that Kakoa is the number one wide receiver. Kakoa is good. I don't understand. I know everybody gets so hyped up about the freshmen and the big recruiting class and everything. It's like, well, last year was a pretty good recruiting class too. Keep Kakoa at the forefront, definitely, when you talk about wide receivers. I know Tariq. I know Donovan. Those are names everybody wants to talk about. But don't forget Kakoa. Nice to see Devin Gill get some playing time, says Micah Bergstaller. Kakoa has questionable hands, Robert Cialone. I don't know. I mean, Wilton and Kakoa just weren't on the same page. Other than that touchdown that should have counted. A little early, maybe, Robert, on Kakoa. Crawford had some drops in important games. I mean, he's just getting into the role of being a featured receiver. I mean, last year, you know, he was a depth guy. They had Amara. They had JU. Spread the word about these live streams. Sending a few emails out now. Thanks, Wes. Yeah, guys, like Sports in the Mitten on Facebook. Follow it on Twitter at Mitten Sports MI. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. I try to do, basically, here's kind of the schedule. We'll do something Wednesday night with my co-host, Thomas Bendit. We'll do something Sunday night with Thomas. Thursday, Fridays, I'll do a solo after like probably Monday press conference. So I'll have about 2 to 3 solos. I'll have a post game, that kind of thing. So about every other day, I'll try to get, you know, a set schedule, but sometimes it's difficult. Eddie McDoom has disappeared. No, he hasn't, Eric. We saw Eddie. What do I think about Penn State? Justin Roberts wants to know. Penn State's good. That's what I think. Justin Roberts, Big Ten in general. Big Ten East. There are four Big Ten teams ranked in the top 10 right now. I'd have to do some stat searching. I wonder how many times that's happened. I don't know if they're, and I know it's after week one. I guess let's start really talking about the strength of the Big Ten once we start getting to week five, six. Do you think Indiana could give the secondary trouble? Justin Wagner wants to know. Yeah, I mean, I like Lego. I thought that he played well. I would expect him to do something similar. Maybe not, because Michigan's going to have time to adjust. He got Ohio State's young corners first game of the season. But I still expect there to be, some type of growing pains, I guess. We're still going to see growing pains from the cornerbacks. That's just how it goes. I'm pretty confident with Josh Metellus at free safety. I think he's rangy, really athletic. Pretty confident with Tyree at the strong safety spot. Lavert Hill, I think Lavert, I mean, Lavert was the guy that Mike Zordich was talking about. Out of everybody, Lavert was the guy who had shown glimpses. Everybody else was kind of trying to play catch up, right? Do you think, okay, that was it. Is Kareem Walker transferring? Zachary Hamden wants to know. Guys, you got to be careful what you read on Twitter and these message boards and these so-called experts. If you follow Blue, what's that guy, Blue OVD or whatever, he said that Rashawn Gary had a torn labrum or some nonsense. I haven't heard anything about Kareem Walker transferring. I remember asking Jim Harbaugh about Kareem in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days, and he said that Kareem was right there on the doorstep. So I don't know. Like with all the other questions about Kareem, I expect to see him tomorrow. If we don't see him tomorrow, then okay. And that would be a question that I ask in the post-game press conference. Is there a reason why we haven't seen Kareem Walker yet? But don't believe all the message board stuff, but rumor. Unless it's like a gut feeling from Sam Webb, that's pretty much how I feel about it. McDoom should get the ball 3 to 4 times per game. I agree. I agree, Frank Lucas. Aaron Little, this week. I think I missed your previous comment, Eric. This week, what? Or are you replying to Frank saying that he should get it 3 to 4 times this week? Ooh, I think that's. Okay, here's a Spate question. Here we go. Spate just needs time to get in sync with receivers. I agree, Aaron. I know everybody loves the crap on Wilton. I know it. I know it. You guys know my stance on Wilton Spate, and it won't change. Wilton's the guy. There's no question. There was never a quarterback race ever. Not between Brandon and John, or Brandon and Wilton. Never happened. And take this into consideration too. Brandon is Jim Harbaugh's guy. Wilton was a quarterback that he inherited. And yes, and I've made the reference. I think Wilton has transformed into Jim Harbaugh's guy. It's his first long-term quarter. I mean, Jake Rudock was obviously an excellent choice for Michigan. But Wilton's going to have 2 years with Jim. He's going to be kind of the first Harbaugh quarterback, even though Jim didn't recruit him. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I mean, I don't think that there's any wavering confidence with Jim Harbaugh and Wilton Spate. I mean, why else would Wilton threw two pick sixes. I was actually kind of surprised. I'm like, okay, well, this is the end of Wilton's day. Who received to start the second half? Wilton Spate. He just had to get his stuff right. Spate is the best option. I'm confident of that, says Justin Wagner. Yeah, he is. There's no doubt about that. And again, guys, I'm not saying that Wilton Spate is. Some people like to kind of troll me about it a little bit because it. I'm not saying that Wilton Spate is the best quarterback in the Big Ten. I'm not saying that he is, anything other than what he is. He's a very good quarterback, but he's the best option at Michigan, and that's not going to change. Not at all. Aaron Little says, "Yeah, he calmed down though. He did." Greg Ryan, Wilton is not very good. However, the chemistry issues with receiver is Harbaugh's fault. Greg, I don't agree with either of that. Can you support that claim? Give me some facts on that. I think Wilton is pretty good. He won 9 games as a first-year starter. Third highest quarterback rating. Excuse me. I'm a little stuffed up. Third highest quarterback rating in the Big Ten. He threw 7 picks, which were the third fewest among Big Ten starters. What else did he have? He had the second highest completion rating. Only Hills from Maryland had 61.9%. Wilton had 61.6%. But Hills threw 147 fewer passes than Wilton did. I think Wilton's pretty good. Yeah, I get the concerns. I get, you know, with fans, you guys, you know, get a little bit antsy. And I mean, just myself, because I feel like I've talked up Wilton. I believe that he is the guy. And I mean, I don't think that's not any question. But I was a little surprised. The pick sixes, I was like, yay, this is getting dicey for him. Buying or selling Maryland after the Texas upset, M. Turfons. I'm buying. DJ Durkin can recruit. DJ Durkin can build a defense. I like the DJ Moore kid, too, at wide receiver. A lot of DJs going on in Maryland. Yes, I'm buying Maryland. What's the latest spread on the game, and do you see us covering Diddy? I haven't checked. Guys, I don't bet at all. I do pay attention to the spread just because a little bit sometimes. It's up to like 34. I haven't checked today. It's like, I mean, it's 34, 35. And again, I see 56-6, 56-9. I don't think Cincinnati will score a touchdown. The so-called quarterback competition takes away valuable practice repetitions with the starters. What do you mean by that, Greg? I mean, you want your best quarterback playing the majority of the snaps, right? Michigan wants to win. It's not about developing Brandon for next year. Why would you do that with a third-string quarterback? The object is to win right now. I mean, I know people want to see Brandon Peters. We haven't even seen all of John O'Korn, guys. We've seen him in one game against Indiana. He wasn't great, but Michigan still won. And the conditions were pretty bad weather-wise. We saw him complete a 37-yard pass on the money to Tariq Black in a situation where his offense just gifted 2 touchdowns to Florida at Jerry's World. I mean, that was a pretty – you got to give John O'Korn some credit. John's the backup for the reason. So, Greg, to answer your question or comment on your question, the so-called quarterback competitions takes away from valuable practice repetitions with the starters. I mean – they want to win games. I don't think the object is to, okay, well, Brandon, come get. Cincinnati will be a game. I think, you know, maybe we see Brandon, but I expect to see John O'Korn midway through the third quarter. Justin Wagner, I would bet Spate got enough reps with the ones. Wilton still needs, and I think he'll play a lot Saturday. Like I said, they'll get a really comfortable lead, but pad some stats a little bit, get some confidence. I think that's probably got to be the game plan with him. No one will be talking about Wilton going into the Wisconsin game, Wes Weber says. What do you mean by that, Wes? I think once Wilton plays up to his level, which we've seen, I mean, everybody was in love with him last year, right, during that 9-game winning streak. They didn't want him to start against Hawaii. I think what he threw his first pass was an interception to Damian Parker of Hawaii. Immediately, people piled on him. People piled on him the Colorado game. He will be fine publicly is what he means, I think. Oh, okay, Wes, yeah. If you mean, yeah, nobody will be talking about Wilton, like in this light, yeah, nobody's going to be questioning Wilton going in the Wisconsin game. I mean, I can agree with that. I don't think anybody should really question him. The only concerns, yes, the accuracy was spotty against Florida. I agree. The Indiana game showed we needed him, says Justin. About John, absolutely. Absolutely. It's Wilton, Spate, John O'Korn. Those are the guys that we're going to see this year. John in the backup role. I would be shocked. I mean, maybe Saturday against Cincinnati. I think that there was a tweet over the summer, which was just completely before the season, which was just completely, I guess, made up. I don't know who the hell the person heard that from, but saying the plan was to start Wilton against Florida and then Brandon and then against Brandon versus Cincinnati and Air Force, and a decision would be made from there. No. That really made me laugh. And I remember going back and forth with some people on Twitter, and guys, it's not that I'm trying. I look at it like this. If you're a media member, you have a responsibility to be factual, right? Because people are following you, people are reading your stuff, and they expect that to be it. So for a media member to go out and say that, I mean, that was just totally bogus info. I don't know why they tweeted. I mean, honestly, I don't know why they tweeted that. That was just, again, it was a laugher. And then on the other side, you have a lot of people on Twitter. And there are a lot of people on Twitter who know great. I mean, Wes Weber, for example, Wes gave me some great stats. I didn't even calculate myself, retweeted it, that kind of stuff. A lot of you guys know what you're talking about, but then there are people on Twitter who are members for paid sites, and then they read the message boards, and then they read everything else, and then they're on there on Twitter saying, "I'm hearing this." You're not hearing, you read it from a reporter who reported it. So like I said, you got to be kind of careful. Antoine Johnson says, "Wilton's inaccuracy in big games will kill us. He can beat the little fellows, but he can't beat the big boys." That's why, how, ball, something, Antoine just trailed off there. Yeah, I don't know. He hung against Ohio State, man. Come on, give him some credit. He will get back to that 60. Jalen Taylor says he will get back to the 60% completion average by Purdue. Spate conversation is over unless he gets hurt or throws more pick sixes. Let me spit this out again. Since it, yeah, Jalen, the Spate conversation has been over. And guys, he roomed with Donovan Peoples-Jones. I wrote a column. Read it on FanRag Sports. Follow FanRag at FanRag_U. I tweeted it from my Twitter account at AdamBiggers81. He roomed with Donovan during camp, and you're gonna trust, your prize recruit with a guy with Wilton. Why? Because Wilton's running the offense. Wilton is the quarterback. No question about that. I asked Jim Harbaugh during the conference call if he saw a little bit of himself in Wilton, competitive-wise, attitude-wise, prep-wise. They're different quarterbacks. And he said, yeah. He said a lot. He said, I think as a coach, you do. And I think when you select your starting quarterback, you want those kind of qualities. And I don't doubt that. I mean, Jim Harbaugh probably sees a lot of himself in Brandon Peters. That's why he recruited him. Jim Harbaugh knows what he's doing with quarterbacks. That's my whole thing. It's like, why you're questioning Jim Harbaugh about quarterbacks. I think he has a track record that pretty much proves he knows what he's doing. Wes says, we will not know the starter next year until opening day, McCaffrey or Peters. I kind of hopped on the Joe Milton train a little bit. I thought maybe Joe might be in that conversation next year. We'll see. But I mean, McCaffrey is really surprised too during camp. And maybe not surprised. Well, surprised me. I know a lot of people were saying, hey, watch out for Dylan, watch out for Dylan. And they were right. Can't be right all the time. I did not expect. And guys, I'm hearing it is a 3-4 thing with Dylan and Brandon. It really is. Like Dylan's getting in there. Keegan Wolfinger says if Wilton plays within the system, he should be fine. He's a proven starting quarterback whose role is to get the ball to the playmakers around him. Well said, Keegan. Robert says it'll probably be Spade again. Robert Protzman, no, I expect if Wilton has a big year this year, I think he's gone. I really do. Justin Wagner says, I agree. Is it Wagner or do you say Wagner, Justin? I agree. Or are you like Mo and you say it Wagner? I agree. Trust Harbaugh with the quarterbacks. Yeah, Spate does have another year of eligibility, Wes. He does, but I think he's gone. If he has a big year this year, I think he's gone. Okay, so do we drop Spate? What the hell is our alternative? Spate gives us the best chance to win games. You said it, Jordan Hardy. Please, God, let it be Milton next year unless Spate. Oh, I see what you did there. Has a terrible season and gets snubbed by the NFL. Greg Ryan does not like Wilton Spate. I think that's pretty clear. Wagner, say the W, says Justin. Not the V sound. I got it. Justin Wagner. Again, guys, if I butcher your names on here, it is not on purpose. I try. You should make a website where we put questions and you answer them during live, Zachary Hamden. That's what we're doing now, Zachary. It's on YouTube. I don't need to make a website. At Jordan Hardy, you're right, but that's still an unfortunate truth for us, says Greg Ryan, replying to a question. Sean Patterson, anyone else tired of the spate conversation? Can I get a show of hands or a vote? Are we not, let's just say we're not going to talk about Will and Spate anymore. Can we do that? I feel like, I mean, I should be his agent, I guess. Like, I've been, I think, the biggest supporter of Will in the media, and it's because everything is there. I know a lot of guys question him. I don't see a reason to question him. If you talk to him, if you're around him, you realize Wilton has a demeanor. There is no other guy for Michigan right now. So let's retire it. Can we we're gonna officially retire the spate. The mechanics, says Robert Cialone. Those can be improved. He's 6'6", 223, he's mobile, he has range. All right. Sean Patterson with a clap. Is it the slow clap? Jalen Taylor with a clap. I need more votes to retire the Wilton Spate conversation. We're doing it right now, guys. I feel like that I've done it enough in the podcast and writing, but I'm leaving it up to you guys right now. Show me like an emoji or something. Sean and Jalen did the clapping hands. We need to retire the Spate conversation. We're doing it right now. There we go, Luke. Come on. There we go, Diddy. Diddy 8DO or DQDO. Robert says, I will vote, but you know I'm going to make some tweets when he throws another pick six, says Robert. I know you will, Robert. Defense talk, Aaron Little. I don't know about anyone else, but I love seeing all the Florida boys in the game at the same time. How cool is that for those guys playing high school ball together? Yeah, and Josh Metellus had mentioned before the game, he knows like 50 or 60 of those guys. And I'm sure Devin does. I'm sure Josh Uche does. Devin Gill, Devin Bush. Yeah. I'm sure that was pretty cool for those guys. Guys, we're going on an hour right now. I don't know if we can get in the defense talk. Let's start the Peterson. Then let's start the Peterson starting position talk. Antoine Johnson. Brandon Peters. I'm not starting that. Carlos Gilliam says he's a good quarterback, has the right man for the job. I agree. Lavert Hill looked very good. Keegan. Yeah, Lavert settled down. He did. And again, that first pass, it was like 34 or 37 yards, something like that. He didn't even see that coming. He didn't even turn his head. MPTC Mafia says go blue. Kando Rail fan, I'd like to see DPJ get the ball on screen pass or quick slant to see what he can do in space. I think we will. Wes Weber, do I follow recruiting close? Not every single moment, like no, not like the 247 guys or the scout guys. You know, that's kind of their specialty. I like to focus more on the guys that are on the roster right now. I do follow recruiting. I have a couple pretty good ends with high-end Michigan targets. I track those guys a little bit. Charles Thomas, for example. I talked to Charles, not frequently, all the time. Talked to Jacob Isaiah. He's actually a Michigan State target. Talked to him quite a bit. Dax Hill, a little bit. Dax was high on Michigan's radar as a safety. Ben St. Juiced, he looks like a future top 10 pick. Sorry for the high standards. Long and sticky is a good combo, says Robert Cialone. Right side of the O-line has to improve. Eluzio looked rough. It was his first start, Jordan, but yes, I agree. I mean, Jordan, Nolan took his lumps. Zachary Hamden, do I see Harbaugh leaving soon? No. Would Don Brown leave if offered an NFL job? Don and Tim signed 5-year extensions. I don't see Don Brown going anywhere anytime soon. Carlos Gilliam says, love your show from Sarasota, Florida. I appreciate it, Carlos. Hey, everybody down there, if you're watching, be safe. Shawn Michael, he's in Jupiter right now. He showed me a map of where he lives. You guys be safe. I know it's getting kind of scary down there, so. We're gonna cap this at an hour. It's 54:32 right now. I definitely went into this with the intentions of it's going to be a shorter show, which never happens. Because you guys like to talk, you guys ask good questions. I like talking too, so. Hopefully these gimme games give the right side of the O-line some confidence. Diddy, 8 D.O. So, yeah, I think so. It's going to be big for the underclassmen. I wrote that in my Cincinnati preview column. Again, that's on FanRag Sports, fanragsports.com, at FanRag underscore U, at FanRag Sports. Aaron Little says, stay safe, Florida and Carlos. Yeah, you're welcome, Carlos. Stay safe, guys. It's scary, I'm sure. I mean, I've never gone through it. Being in Dallas, though, I did talk to some people from Houston. You know, there were a lot of people migrating north, you know, obviously. And they were telling me about it. And I mean, I don't really know what else to say, except, you know, I mean, it sucks. I'm not trying to make light of it, but I mean, damn, I mean, that's gotta be a scary situation. Definitely. So yeah, stay safe, guys, in Florida. We're gonna wrap this up. No responses. Okay, we're wrapping it up, guys. I'm gonna call the show for today. I'll have something post-game Cincinnati Saturday night. I'll probably do one Sunday morning. If you guys tweet at me enough at AdamBiggers81 with a bunch of questions, I'm sure we can do a short one. Again, the show's basically designed to talk with you guys, give me your questions, constructive chat about Michigan football and Michigan State football. If you guys want to talk about Spartans and basketball as well, Wolverines, Spartans basketball, I cover both of those. But constructive chat, you know, let's be intelligent about it. You know, we won't ever entertain rumors other than I'll tell you it's a rumor or something like that. We're never, you know, going to get in that type of talk. But you guys do a really good job. And again, thank you. The other day, if you watched, I got a little bit angry because we had a spammer in here talking a lot of racist crap, and I don't like that either. So keep them clean, keep them constructive, like you guys do, and we'll have a good show. So again, I want to thank everyone for watching on the YouTube live stream. Don't forget to like and subscribe to my channel. Tell your friends, tell your mom, your brother, your sister, your dad, everybody. And we're getting like close to like 750 subscribers right now. It's really picked up the past few weeks. And follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Read all my stuff on FanRag Sports, fanragsports.com, at FanRag underscore U. Zachary says he loves me. Love you. Thanks, Zachary. I appreciate it, guys. You guys make the podcast, really. Before, when I first, you know, I didn't know how this was going to go. I didn't want to just sit here and talk, but it's a conversation. You guys make the podcast, so thank you. Again, follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. If you're in Ann Arbor, don't forget to go to Mr. Spots. It's really good food. 808 State Street in Ann Arbor. Tell Tim and Keith or any of the crew members that are there that I sent you, and hopefully they'll say, okay, well, thanks. I can't promise a discount, but I can promise that I will give away free food every week, home games. You can pick them up. You can pick up your free half sandwich, a steak or chicken, whatever you want, at Mr. Spots. Send me those game predictions. I'm going to sift through them again and see who the first ones and the closest, you know, whatever. But we're going to pick a winner every week for a home game, hook you guys up with free Mr. Spots. So, Diddy says, I'd rather talk Wilton than Spartans. I know, I mean, you guys, I think this is a pretty much all Michigan show, but I did write about Brian Lewerke. This is a big game for Brian and the Spartans this weekend against Western Michigan. And I know it's kind of funny to say that, but it is what it is. It is a big game for the Spartans, and Brian will be facing a championship-level secondary. Phillips, Beal, those guys are pretty good. They picked off Sam Darnold twice. I mean, they hung with USC. Sam Darnold, Heisman, you know, he's been in the Heisman talk. He threw zero touchdowns against Western secondary, zero, and USC scored 49 points, so that says a lot. Thanks for watching, guys. I'm going to go probably mow my backyard and, I don't know, prepare for the game tomorrow. So thanks again for watching. I'll talk to you next time.